Now, so I'm coming to say everything will change. The change. That Warped Tour made you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Remember the name. Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Confirming intros always go the hottest. Cause this is America's game.
Hey everybody, welcome back into America's Game, episode number 79. I'm your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on X at Eric Vanek NFL. You can follow the show as well at America's Game Pod. This week, I am joined by my man, Fizz. Fizz, what's going on, buddy?
I'm good, Evie. How we feeling, Playboy?
Yeah, feeling good, man. We got a Super Bowl matchup now. We got a lot of coaching hires that went down, so we'll start with those two and kind of talk about them a little bit. But, yeah, what do you think, Eagles and Chiefs?
Yeah, man, rematch of, 2023? And, you know, I'm not sure if the fans are going to be waiting for this, the refs and the penalty, and you know how that last game ended with, what was that, Juju Smith-Schuster, if I ain't mistaken, when he caught that pass and – the ref threw that flag and kind of, you know, that kind of changed the game for the Chiefs. But I'm ready to see it, man. Ready for some football. More so for me, it's two things I want to look at more than anything. It's Saquon Barkley. He's must-watch TV right now. He's in a situation where he can really change. Well, he's probably already changed the running back position and how we look at it. But more so, just look at him, man. You got to celebrate him no matter what color he has on. Saquon Barkley, man, is a dude that I want to really, you know, just celebrate coming from, you know, shit to gold, if you want to say it that way. But, I know, that part I'm looking at the most, Saquon, but also Pat Mahomes, man, to see, you know, if he can get this offense looking like we think it should look against one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the league. So, Pat Mahomes and what he can do on offense and Saquon Barkley – just tearing up the league and, you know, doing it on the Super Bowl level, something I definitely want to see.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, if you kind of think about it back to 2023, like you were talking about, I think both of these teams are probably better than they were that year. Eagles especially. I mean, they didn't Saquon Barkley. You know, A.J. Brown and Devontae still there. Goddard's still there. The only offensive line difference is really Kelsey. Kelsey, you know, retired. I think their defense is much better. Quinion, Zach Bond, those guys are having tremendous years. Jalen Carter, all these Georgia guys, Nolan Smith, Cooper DeJean. Like, I think the Eagles' defense is a lot better than what it was. And Chiefs, pretty much same team, but now they got all these receivers with Worthy and Hollywood Brown's back, Hopkins. Their receiving core is a little bit better. Kelsey's a little older. It's going to be a really interesting matchup. I predicted this matchup beginning of the year. Okay. When me and Mike did our prediction episode, I had Eagles Chiefs, so that came to fruition.
Yeah.
I think I did pick the Chiefs to win, but man, I honestly, I think it's kind of a toss up. Like, I can make arguments for both sides. Like, Eagles are playing their best ball right now. I mean, Jalen Hurts looked incredible in the NFC Championship game, even with the knee injury. I mean, that dude was just throwing some dimes out there. He was really good. Barkley did his thing. But then you got the most, I mean, I think this guy should get in the Hall of Fame, and he's only been a head coach one time, and that's Steve Spagnuolo.
Spags.
I mean,
he's doing his thing.
It is interesting to me that he has dominated for 3-4 years now, and the dude can't even get a coaching interview.
Yeah, I mean, but honestly,
you never hear his name.
You're right. Honestly, I don't even think he won one though. He might have let teams like.
I mean, that could be for sure behind the scenes. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But this dude is just incredible. Like, they lose their best corner, the free agency this year. Doesn't matter. You know, pass rushing is okay. They can still get it done. Like, he comes up with some incredible schemes, man. So I really think this is really 50-50 here between the Eagles and Chiefs. I think I would lean Chiefs maybe 51-49, but I really don't know. Like, it's going to be a really good game. So I'm excited for that we're actually getting, you know, a really good game here between these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, injuries aside, hopefully, you know, well, nobody really has a major injury. I'm just saying hopefully no injuries change the trajectory of the game while, you know, the game is being played. And outside of that, man, I'm just looking for a good game and showtime, baby, you know, Super Bowl time. That's the time we're waiting for. And it's here, so
ready. And maybe some decent commercials for a change, because they've been dog shit for years.
Man, for years, like literally for years.
Like the only thing that I ever look forward to are movie trailers. That's about it.
Yep, me too.
I think they said the Fantastic Four trailer is going to drop during the Super Bowl, so we'll see how that one is.
Okay, yeah, movie trailers is probably, like you said, the number one thing. Other than that, man. How many times can you dunk a Dorito chip inside of a bowl and eat some cheese out of it? Like, I'm kind of over those commercials at this point.
Yeah, like, we used to have funny commercials back in the day that were, like, borderline sexual or just making fun of something. And, like, we don't have any of that shit anymore. Like,
nowadays, they just throw LeBron or Steph Curry one and just think that it's we supposed to like it, you know? Like, just throw a celebrity in it, Kevin Hart. Oh, yeah, I like it now. Like,
exactly. Know. And then we'll do the coaching hires real quick. So we haven't really talked about any of the coaching hires on here, but I'll just kind of get your opinions on them. So Mike Vrabel, he went back to New England. What did you think of Vrabel going to New England?
I mean, I like it for the structural part of it. If you notice, we didn't bring it up yet, but it got Josh McDaniels as the OC, and it just went through Gerard Mayo. So it seems like the Patriot way is going to continue being the Patriots way. Like, all the guys that either used to play there or used to coach there, they just keep bringing them back. And I know Vrabel hasn't coached in New England yet, but I think he's going to be there for good structure. My biggest thing was who's going to be his OC. So once he got his OC, now I kind of understand, like, they're just going to get back to regular business. He's not going to do nothing tricky, nothing, you know, that we not going to see coming. Like, when he got McDaniels, we might not have known that was coming, but it made sense to the fan that knows the Patriot way. So, seemed like to me, man, they just back on regular schedule programming, doing what New England does. And I like it, though, for the team. I more so, like I said, was worried about Drake May and the offense and his growth. So, I think McDaniels would be solid in New England. And as an OC versus a head coach anywhere else. So I actually like the signing for the most part.
Yeah, I agree. I like Vrabel there. Should bring structure and all that like you talked about. He should be fine. Defense should get right. And then the offense, I think, is definitely an improvement over what they had with McDaniels. I think him just running the offense, he's more than fine. So as long as they get Drake May some offensive line help, get him some weapons in the draft this year and free agency, I'm totally fine with it. So I agree with you there. Jacksonville, they got Liam Cohen, the Tampa Bay offensive coordinator, with his famous Duval already.
I was just about to say Duval.
Yeah. What'd you think about Jacksonville going with Liam Cohen?
I mean, it's a trial and error thing, I think. He did make that offense look very good in Tampa this year, especially after Canales left and went to Carolina. So I really thought when he left, like, the offense is going to take a step back. And, I mean, outside of Chris Godwin getting hurt, man, Baker looked better than ever. So, you know, I think Trevor Lawrence kind of reminds me of I'm not going to say as a Baker Mayfield, but he reminds me of that rebel as a quarterback. Like, he kind of doesn't have, like, a set skill. Sometimes he kind of just goes off the cuff and just runs around and try to make a play here and there and, you know, throw it far, throw it deep, throw the interception. He kind of got that renegade type of style now. I don't know if he had that coming into the league, but I guess being in Jacksonville sometime, it'll do that to you. So I like the hiring. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars, man. I got to see it. Yeah. So, but no matter who they hire, man, unless it's some like Andy Reid or some guy with a major pedigree, it is always going to be the Jaguars until further notice to me. So,
yeah, I mean, I think they got to get their defense in order a little bit. But offensively, I don't mind it. I mean, it should be better than Peterson. Hopefully, as long as these guys can stay healthy. That was a lot of their issues this year. Like, Evan Ingram was hurt a lot. Christian yeah. Kirk got hurt. The offensive line wasn't, you know, as great. Trevor Lawrence ended up getting hurt. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of things happened, you know, this year for them. But I do like Lawrence with this kind of offense. I think this should fit him well. I like this for Etienne and Bigsby. Like, you saw what he did last year with Rashad White and Bucky yeah. Irving. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, two little bit different styles. You know, Etienne and Rashad White, you can probably are similar, but he didn't really have a Tank Bigsby. So I do like this a little bit for the running game. We'll see what happens there with the wide receivers. Obviously, BTJ should be his Mike Evans. You know, go get that fucking ball, kid. And, you know, BTJ should be great.
Yeah.
I think Christian Kirk's still under contract, but they could get out from under him. So we'll see what happens there. But I could see Christian Kirk doing the Chris Godwin type stuff that Godwin was doing. I don't, you know, maybe a little bit lesser than Godwin, but I like that. Mm-hmm. Still has Gabe Davis. So yeah, pretty good one there. I think offensively, I think he's got a good shot there. Then let's go over to the Raiders. Pete Carroll coming back to the NFL. What do you think about Pete Carroll and the Raiders?
I think, honestly, is no other place to have more fun than in the city of Las Vegas. Like, you know, when you go there to have fun. And I think that's what Pete Carroll is going to be there to do. Not necessarily not do his job, but just bring an aura with people smiling every day. You know, meet them at the locker room, come into the door. Pete probably be there to dap you up. You probably got a shirt off, you know, veins popping out his neck, yelling, you know. And, of course, old people love the slots, and the slots are always open in Vegas, baby. So, Pete Carroll going to Vegas to me was, I wouldn't even imagine it was going to happen. But knowing that it happened now, I don't really mind it because I think no other place, you know, you don't want to go somewhere where old men go to die and fall off and get old, right? So Vegas will keep him young, and I think he'll keep the locker room with a lot of energy. So it's yeah. cool. It's not a bad hiring, but I don't expect them to make the playoffs or nothing like that, though.
Yeah, he's got a lot to build here. He's going to have to get lucky like he got with Russell Wilson taking him in round three. I mean, it's probably impossible, but like...
Maybe he signs Russ.
I mean, if they don't take a quarterback in round one, if one doesn't fall to him, like a round two Jackson Dart, I could see that, and that could work out. Obviously, they need a couple more offensive weapons, like... They should be able to get a running back in this class, no doubt. There's many running backs.
He is Amir White.
Receivers, tight end. He's got the best tight end in the league already. Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, he can, you know, use still. He's still under contract. Jacoby Myers. So, yeah, they need a couple more receivers, offensive line help. You know, defensively, they got some players, but they definitely need some more. So he's got his work cut out for him there. I agree with you. It might be like a 6-11 kind of season there for the Raiders, but I think they're definitely on the way up and a better culture there for sure going on. And then let's move over to your team, the one with the star on their helmet, the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. What the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, that's not my team, brother. It's Jerry Jones' team, but go ahead. Continue.
Honestly, my first thought was, okay, he's the puppet. He's going to be like, yes, Jerry, yep. yes, Jerry, yes, Jerry. Yep. Yep. He's just going to do whatever Jerry says, and he's going to be the yes man. Like, I don't get this hire at all. Like he was the offensive coordinator for Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez is already out of the league. So I mean, he's been in the league a long time, and he
on different teams multiple years. Like, it's not like right. he's had it, you know. No one kept him around long enough to say that Dallas should keep him around. You know what I'm saying? So,
like, yeah, his most successful time was probably the Jets back then when they were, you know, winning some games and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, he's always been whenever he's like been hired as an offensive coordinator, like his offenses are like 20th in the league or whatever, like they're not very good, and it's always, you know, a run heavy approach. So I haven't seen anything that says innovative, you know, anything like that. I don't know. My only thinking is, like, he's just a yes man, so that's why Jerry hired him. I don't see this going very well.
But my only problem with it is, I'm not going to say I don't see it going well. I think it's going to be what we've already seen, except just a little more mid, right? Mike McCarthy got us to 12 wins like 2-3 years. I could see him getting us to 10. But the problem is, if we make the playoffs, Jerry's going to justify that and say, well, he did at least good enough. Like, nobody saw 10 wins. We need to literally hit rock bottom, I believe. I don't think we've hit that rock bottom to where Jerry feels like, you know, the formula isn't working. I think he's won enough games to say, oh, we were one win away, or, you know, so-and-so was hurt. Like, we need to literally hit rock bottom, lose 16 in a row like Detroit, and then he will wake up and say, you know what, I think it ain't no hope. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
We just keep putting Band-Aids on open scars, and it's just going to keep it with the same result. So, me personally, I do believe in the roster. I just don't believe in the leadership. So, count in 9 to 10 wins, a playoff, you know, berth or whatever, but no playoff win regardless. So let's just say pick 18 to 20 for this team right here again.
Okay. All right. Next one up, Chicago. Ben Johnson. What do you think of Ben Johnson going to the Chicago Bears?
I think the Bears are going to the playoffs in 2025, man.
Okay.
I think they are better than the Green Bay Packers. I think if J.J. McCarthy got to really show that he's better than Sam Darnold and get that offense ready, if he's, you know, he's a rookie. Sam been around for a while. I still believe in Minnesota, but I think Ben Johnson know what he's doing. And I think he's going to, because that team in Chicago wasn't a bad team. They just didn't have any structure, any order, any respect, it looked like. Like, D.J. Moore never looked like he wanted to even be there. I think Ben Johnson, with what he built in Detroit and his pedigree of what he's just coming off the number one offense in the league, I look at every offensive player in that locker room in Chicago, like, holding the door for him. Hey, coach, hey, you need me to get your coffee today? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what plays we doing? I think he's going to bring a lot of energy and juice in that locker room. And Caleb Williams, 100%, man, is going to show everybody why he was the pick number one.
Yeah, I definitely like this.
But even with a bad O-line, because everybody keep – I know I keep saying this, and people keep saying, but what about the O-line? Even with the O-line, a guy that's offensively minded can figure things out, man. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to – I'm not saying that they shouldn't fix the O-line, because they will at some point. But quick releases, different plays, like, this is what they make offensive schemes for, to cover up the lack of what they're missing. So – I just think Ben Johnson is a great hire, and I'm locking him in for a playoff berth for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have the 9th or 10th pick, so they should be able to get a solid offensive lineman there.
Yeah.
That's going to help them a lot. Hopefully free agency, they can maybe pick up a guy or two. Offensively, yeah, I like it. Like, for Rome, for DJ Moore, Komet, DeAndre Swift, like, I like all these pieces there. And then obviously for Caleb too, I think Caleb still has some more developing to do. Like, he's got to learn to get the fucking ball out of there fast. Like, he can't, like, yeah, making these plays off structure and, you know, making all these Superman plays are great and all, but you can't do that every single play. Like, you got to get the ball out of there on time, because these NFL defenses, they're coming. Like, you're playing Brian Flores, he's coming for your ass. So,
yeah,
you better learn to get the ball out of there quick, make your reads quick, and fire it out there. So I think this is a good spot here for Caleb. I'm excited for it. He's got one of the best offensive coordinators in the league. So, yeah, I'm on board with this one.
You always need an offensive guy, great offensive-minded guy, when you draft a quarterback this high in pedigree, bro. I was probably the only person I know that was really high on Cliff Kingsbury coming in. But we all see what he's done with Jaden. And I'm not saying Jaden isn't one of the best talents, but he still had to be coached too. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not all just Jaden. And when you draft a quarterback at 1, 2, or 3, man, you have to have a guy that's calling the plays in the right position, man. If not, a defensive coach, man, just doesn't do that. Unless his OC is just astronomical, like a Ben Johnson was in Detroit. So,
right.
Gotta get that young guy, his guy.
All right, and then the last one, they don't have a coach yet, but kind of want to see who you think might be it, and that's the Saints. They've had a couple of interviews so far. I mean, they've interviewed quite a bit of people. McCarthy already came out, I think it was either today or yesterday, said he's just going to focus on the 2026 hiring cycle, so he's kind of pulled his name out of the Saints hat. They've interviewed Kellen Moore, I think it was yesterday. Sounds like that went pretty decently. Who do you think for the Saints? Have you what are you hearing, or who do you think would be the best fit for the Saints?
I heard they even interviewed Cliff, and well, they didn't interview Cliff because he said, "I'm good. I'm gonna just wait." So,
yeah,
I think me and you even got a shot to coach the Saints, bro. I don't think nobody wants to coach in that city with that team, knowing they're going to be $80 million over the cap, no structure. I think a guy like a Kellen Moore, especially if he wins the Super Bowl, and even just going to the Super Bowl, right? As a OC coming from Dallas, that's kind of enough for Kellen Moore. Like, you know, well, he came from Dallas, then the Chargers. But I think if I had to take a guess right now, especially like you just said with the last interview, I'm going to say Kellen Moore. But I think it's more so Kellen Moore because nobody else wants this job, bro. It seems like nobody wants it. And I wouldn't want it. I look at it as in 2 years, you're going to be fired and looking for a job. That's how I look at this job. I don't see nobody succeeding in it. You might win some games, but this is just like the bottom of the bottom, man, when it comes to wanting to be a head coach. And I don't want no parts of this job, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with you because they're not going to fire the GM who's been there forever, who's gotten them in this cap hell. Like, he's fucking stuck with it.
Yep.
So it sucks. I kind of think Kellen Moore is probably going to get the job after the Super Bowl, so maybe they can wait. That's a good thing about being the last team. You get your pick of everybody. I mean, if you want to, if Spags wins another Super Bowl here with the Chiefs, you can go, you know, talk to Spags too. I mean, I don't think he would take it.
I'm about
but,
to say, yeah. I don't know about that.
I think my thing with this though. Is if I was like a guy that was in the, you know, in position to kind of dictate what happens, I'd be like, I want the GM gone too. Like, I want to bring in my own GM.
For sure.
Because this guy has just completely just screwed this team. I mean, I think like if Kellen Moore went there next year and they had Derek Carr and Alvin Kamara, Juwan Johnson, Olave, Rashid Shaheed. Like, I think he could have a pretty good offense. Like, I think this team could be a 7-9 team, like they always are. I don't think that's an issue. But, just the cap hell. Like, the defense needs a little bit more. Like, they're, you know, getting a little bit older on defense. So, I don't think it's, like, the worst job in the world, but it definitely could use some help.
Yeah, for sure. I just think it's the worst because of what is there now. Like, now if the right coach went, like a guy with some respect around the league, like even an Aaron Glenn, if Aaron Glenn would have went there, I believe he could have changed the culture. I just don't know if he would have got the results record wise that he would want. So I see why he didn't want to go, but
yeah,
they need somebody to just kind of fill the gap, wait 2 years so they get some damn cap and then say, all right, man, well, we appreciate you coming here, but now we're going to go get our real coach. So unfortunately, whoever goes there, don't look forward to a future in New Orleans, man.
And then you brought up Aaron Glenn. I completely skipped over the Jets. So what do you think about Aaron Glenn to the Jets?
I like it. I think, you know, they've always been a defensive-minded team. I mean, it is what it is. And regardless if Aaron Rodgers stays or goes, if he goes, they got to find a quarterback, right? So it's like you don't really need an offensive genius to go to New York, to me, because I think they're defensively structured anyway. They just need to find a system on offense that works. And hopefully Aaron Rodgers comes back. As much as people getting tired of him, I'm tired of him. I think Aaron Glenn, though, to me, and I don't know if you heard the quote about the GM saying that the Aaron Rodgers thing is up to Aaron Glenn now. It's not up to him. He said he's going to let the coach make that decision. So I think with Aaron Glenn being a respectable guy, and I think Aaron Rodgers' biggest thing was the lack of respect for the leadership that he had. Like, he never seemed like he respected Robert Saleh. Seemed like Saleh was like, it's his puppet, and he was the coach. So I think Aaron Glenn is coming in with respect on his name, and Aaron Rodgers, I believe, will show him some respect if he wants to play. And he might end up being okay, but I would rather see Rodgers dead than them go sign Sam Darnold for $90 million and lose the same amount of games, so.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was between Rodgers and Saleh at all. I think they were actually on board with each other, at least from what Aaron Rodgers has said. So I think he was kind of upset.
I think he's talking. When I say respect, I don't mean direct, like F you, but I'm saying, bro, he didn't show any type of, you know, teammateship, like coming in the locker room. So, like, he was late to the training camp, and He came in the building wrong, and then he started trying to move around. Hey, give me this player. Give me this player. I need Randall Cobb. I need, like, bro, what are you doing? But the problem was they gave him the keys and said, what do you want next? Okay, you want Lazard? Remember, they signed Lazard before they even had Aaron Rodgers locked in. That was crazy. Like, who in the world else was going to sign Lazard, bro? Nobody. Nobody wanted Lazard, but that was a Rodgers thing, man. So I think they opened the floor and gave him the red carpet before they even really saw results. And year one, he got hurt. Year two, he asked for Davante Adams, and they still didn't win. So I just think Aaron Glenn is going to come in there with the new mind state of, look, this is my team. Just roll with me. Like, he's not going to get that royal treatment that he got when he first got there. It's basically what I'm trying to say. So,
yeah, we'll see what happens there with the quarterback situation. I think that'll have a lot to do with it. So, yeah. Interesting. Oh, for sure. Interesting ones there for sure. So we went through the coaches there. I know that took a little bit longer, but let's get into the meat of the show. I want to go over Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah's new mock drafts that dropped this week. And then we're going to kind of do our own mock draft here at the end like we did last time. So got a little bit more information now. We have the draft order finally set as well. So let's go over these mock drafts. So we'll start with Mel Kiper's first. Titans, he's got them taking Cam Ward. I think I'm on board with that one. I think the Titans probably end up taking Cam Ward. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a solid pick for them. They need to reset at quarterback regardless, bro. So if you want to do it now, the time is to do it now. So I don't mind that pick at all.
I mean, I think the GM came out and said, oh, we're not going to pass on a generational talent, and people are taking that. But I think that was a smokescreen to, like, hey, if you really want somebody, you can move up here to get them more picks.
I mean, hey, if I'm them, why not, right? Sell it.
If they can't move that pick, though, I think they stick and take Cam Ward. I was watching some Cam Ward highlights yesterday, and I'm all in on Cam Ward. So,
When I say sell it, I mean, like, sell it to the other teams that you really aren't going to make this decision. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the Giants want to move up two spots, come on up, man. Overpay, and we'll figure it out. So, I like that pick, though.
Number two, he has Cleveland Browns taking Travis Hunter. I would totally be on board with that. Either him or Abdul Carter, I would be fine with the Browns taking either one of those players.
Yeah, I like that too. Ward has had many, many, many concussions. And I think it's just time, you know, for Travis Hunter to come through. And he can spark the offense. You got rid of Amari Cooper. He can play both sides of the field, most likely cornerback, but – yeah, man. Travis Hunter to the Cleveland Browns sound like a great move to me.
Yeah, I like that. Number three, he has the Giants selecting Shedeur Sanders, the quarterback from Colorado. Sounds like they met with him at the East-West Shrine Game, and they were pretty impressed with Sanders, which somebody was saying. So I could see that definitely being a fit, Sanders to the Giants at three.
I actually think that this is like when J.J. McCarthy failed to the Vikings, and when Mac Jones failed to the Patriots. I think that's who they wanted in the first place both times. Like, I think the Patriots was okay with Mac Jones when he failed it, because they would have traded up or tried. So, me personally, I think that's what the Giants want. I think they want Shedeur to fall to them. So, if it goes the way that, you know, Kiper has it, I think the Giants are smiling, jumping up and down. They missed out on Jaden Daniels, and we saw that video clip. So, I think if they want their guy, they're going to get him if Shedeur falls 100%.
Yeah, and the free agency quarterback class, I mean, what are you really going to go get Sam Darnold? Fuck no. I'd rather have Sanders than Mac or Sam Darnold. For sure. Four, he has the Patriots taking Abdul Carter. I think this would be a home run pick, even though
crazy.
You know, the Patriots need offensive help and all this stuff. I don't think you could pass on Abdul Carter at four if he fell to you in your lap.
That'd be crazy, bro. That'd be crazy for Vrabel first year there and get him. Yeah, that'd be crazy. I know Mayo. I'm pissed off right now. Like, damn, I won that extra game and they still got a guy like Abdul. Man. what I'm saying?
At number five, he has the Jags taking defensive tackle Mason Graham from Michigan. I think I like the pick. I like the player. Mason Graham's a fucking beast up the middle, man. Like, they're, this defensive tackle class, interior linemen, defensive linemen in this class are really, really good. They could probably use this. I don't see anyone off the top of my head that might be a better pick. Maybe Will Johnson, if Will Johnson, revamps his stock a little bit. But I would be totally fine if they took Mason Graham. I think that's a player that could play 10-plus years in the league and be a really, really good player for you, especially on defense. So I like this pick.
Me personally, I always go with the offensive guys, wanting offensive guys. And I think maybe a Will Campbell from LSU, just an old lineman, help Trevor out. I think they might go offense just because of the signing. I could be wrong, but I always look at OCs thinking about the offense when they first come in. So,
right. I could see that too, but I think I do like the Mason Graham pick for sure.
Yeah.
Number six, the Las Vegas Raiders. They take Teteroa McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona. Imagine getting him and Brock Bowers together for years. Sheesh. and Jacoby Myers too. I mean, hopefully they can get a quarterback in there. But yeah, what do you think about Tet to the Raiders?
Hey, like I just said earlier, bro, if they get Tet, they got Brock. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of him currently, but I wouldn't mind seeing Russ over there with those weapons, man. Russ, he could throw a pretty ball in the head, man, and get those guys in their rookie seasons, young seasons together. It's not a long-term thing, but
I just don't think Russ and Pete are going to mix together again.
Hey, maybe not. I'm just saying, because they got to get a quarterback. Like, they can't wait till the draft to get one if they go Tet with the, 105 or 106. So, would you sign? Well, like I said, we always throw Sam Darnold out there, but would you sign a Sam Darnold? Like, you got to get somebody, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Could they go Sam Darnold?
I don't know, man. Because the reason why I bring it up is because Sam Darnold's going to actually want money. Russ, you can get him for, just a one. It's like a 1 year thing with Russ. With Sam, you got to commit to him for at least 3 to 4 years. And probably paying way more than what he's worth to run a team that you know isn't going to win a playoff game anyway. Yeah. To me, it just don't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, with the way Pete likes to play football, like, you just need somebody to turn around and hand the ball off. Like, Aiden O'Connell can do that.
Is Geno Smith going to be available? He ain't got no contract yet. He may be. We know.
Yeah, who knows? Number seven, he has the Jets taking Mykel Williams, the defensive end, linebacker, wherever they're going to play him, from Georgia. So I really like Mykel Williams. I thought he was always going to be a top 10 pick in this draft. And yeah, getting him here at seven to add to that defense, man, that defense still has a ton of talent. They had a lot of injuries and stuff last year, but
yeah,
with Aaron Glenn there having like this kind of talent, I think this defense could be really good.
Like you just said, Aaron Glenn, he's the key to that. So I like this pick.
Yeah, I like Mykel Williams there. Eight, he has Jaylen Walker, the linebacker from Georgia, going there. He's kind of like versatile off-ball linebacker and edge rusher, kind of like Micah Parsons a little bit. You know, not as good as Micah Parsons, but yeah. Kind of the same, similar type of player. Carolina just needs all kinds of help on defense. So I definitely like this pick too.
Yeah, man. I mean, we always love to hear these offensive guys get called, but Carolina, if they don't address the defense in like the first four rounds, something else is going wrong in Carolina. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Nine, he has the Saints taking Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan. I like this pick for sure. They traded Lattimore to Commanders, so they really need some corner help. Will Johnson falling here, good spot. 10, he has the Bears taking Will Campbell, who you talked about earlier, the tackle/guard from LSU. They just need all kinds of help on the offensive line. Get him Will Campbell. I like that. Yep. 49ers at 11, Kelvin Banks, the tackle from Texas. He can move into guard too. 49ers need help at, offensive line. Another good pick.
I kind of despise this, that the 49ers got one pick right in front of us, man. I know they're going to find a way, man, to try to just steal something from us that we need, because that's what they do, man. So,
of course,
I hate when Philly and the 49ers pick like right in front of us, bro. It's like they just find a way, man, that piss me off on draft day. So I'm going to hate it.
Number 12, your Dallas Cowboys select Luther Burden III, wide receiver, Missouri. What do you think?
I mean, I don't mind it. I keep hearing this Ashton Jeanty stuff, man. I just don't really see it to me. Don't believe it. The O-line is like, we might be rebuilding this whole offensive line. If it's up to me, I hope we trade back and just try to fix the future, because the right now is just, it's really grim to me. So I don't mind Luther Burden, though. We need a clear number two on this team, and we haven't had one for a while. So I don't mind a Burden pick at all.
Yeah, I mean, Cooks is a free agent. He's probably gone. Jalen Tolbert was nice, but I think he's more of a third receiver than he is, a number two. So, yeah, I think getting Burden here would be a great pick for them. Honestly, if I were them, I would probably focus on maybe an offensive lineman if Campbell or Banks fell. I agree with you. I don't think they should take Jeanty. Like, you can get a running back later on, and that's kind of how Dallas operates. Other than Zeke, I think times have changed since Zeke got picked. I think Dallas thinks they could probably get a running back later on, and they definitely can with how big this class is. So I just don't see them taking Jeanty here. Is he worth the 12th pick? Absolutely. I think they have they have so many holes where they got to fill there first. It's not like a team that's one piece away, like the Eagles were with Barkley when they signed him. Get that kind of a player. So I agree. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I believe, me personally, you try to sell that Jeanty thing, right? Just say, hey, man, anybody want Jeanty? You want to move up a little bit?
Yeah, you can do that too.
Kind of try to sell it like you want him, but you don't, in the same sense. And me personally, I think Rico Dowdle will get re-signed, and he'll be the starting running back in Dallas. And we'll find a guy in the fourth or fifth round that just, run a 1-2 punch with it. So that's my personal opinion.
Yep, I'm good with that. 13, he has the Miami Dolphins taking Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia. I kind of liked the safeties that they had, but, I mean, upgrading with Malachi Starks isn't bad. I think Miami needs to go offensive line. Like, they need to get some offensive line in there. Their offensive line was pretty piss poor this year. So that's where I would lean, but we'll see what happens there. Because, I think Connerly from Oregon, he's getting a lot of buzz right now. A couple other guys too are getting some buzz, so I think maybe when we do our mock draft here in a little bit, we'll probably go offensive line there. Indianapolis number 14, they take Tyler Warren, the do it all tight end from Penn State. What would you think of that pick?
I love the player. Don't like the landing spot, because we all know, man, he's going to be in a big tuna bowl with a whole bunch of tight ends. It's already there. Every year we want a new tight end to go to the Colts, and every year they seem to keep running six or seven of them. So you take a guy this early, of course you're going to use him. I just don't know the production we're going to actually get out of him being in Indianapolis. So I like the talent, but I don't really care for him to go to the Colts, though.
Well, the good thing is two of the four are set for free agency, the tight ends they had, Kylan Granson and Mo Alie-Cox. So hopefully both of those guys move on. Then they can have Tyler Warren, they can have Drew Ogletree, and they can have Will Mallory. And that'll be your three tight ends. And I think Tyler Warren, he can play, he can block, he can do everything. So I think he'd be out there mostly, out there. So I do like the pick for them. I'm like thinking about the Colts. Like,
that's what I'm saying, the production.
I don't know if tight end is their biggest need. Exactly. Like, I get the player and all that, but I don't know.
Yeah. And think about it, bro. We thought Michael Pittman was going to have a career year, and we saw what happened with him very early in the season. So another guy catching the ball on Indianapolis in the first round, that's not necessarily what I want to see them do. So
15, we have the Atlanta Falcons taking Shamar Stewart, the defensive end from Texas A&M. He's getting a shit ton of buzz right now, like around the NFL circles, of him just moving up the draft board. So I think he's almost probably a lock to be a top 15 pick there. So I like Shamar Stewart there. Arizona takes Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama, who's just a fucking mammoth of a human. I really like this pick for them, too. I think they could also look at the defensive line. There's still James Pierce, Mike Green, Nick Scorton are still here as well. So they've upgraded that offense last couple years with Marvin Harrison, Paris Campbell. You know, I could see them still continuing that as well.
Yep, I'm with you.
17, he has the Bengals taking Jihad Campbell, a linebacker from Alabama. I mean, the Bengals need a lot of help on defense, so I wouldn't be opposed to them just taking defense if they think this is the best player available.
Yeah, that defense needs a whole lot, bro, so they got to go defense on the first round on this one.
Yep. Seahawks at 18 take Armin Memebo from Missouri, offensive tackle guard. He could play either spots, and Seattle always could use offensive line upgrades, so definitely. I'm totally on board with that. Tampa Bay, he has them taking Nick Amonawore, safety from South Carolina. So we had another safety. A lot of people have been hyping him up too, and it sounds like this guy's going to be in the first round as well. You know, he's right up there with Malachi Starks as far as grades they're talking about. So, yeah, I think pairing him up with Antoine Winfield Jr. would be really, really nice. I just don't know if that is their biggest need, but their secondary does need some help, so I could see that.
Yeah.
20, Denver Broncos. They're the ones that pull the trigger, and they take Ashton Jeanty at 20. What would you think of old Ashton Jeanty at Denver?
Well, knowing Sean Payton, man, and how he loved the running back position, I think he really tried with Williams. He tried with, you know, all the hype of Estimate and all this stuff we kept hearing over the summer, but I don't think he got what he really thought he was going to get. So just locking in, getting that clear generational 101 at the running back position, that can probably be his number one for the next 5 years without, you know, question. I think this is the place that, you know, if you want to take a guy and bet on them in the first round at running back, Sean Payton wouldn't be the bad coach to coach him up. So I would love this pick, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely like this pick a lot for Denver. Like, obviously with, you know, Sean Payton's history with Kamara, Mark Ingram, I think this could be a really good fit there for Jeanty. Like, he could do everything there, so I love it. Next up, though, is going to be the 21 Pittsburgh Steelers. They take wide receiver Emeka Egbuka from the Ohio State. What did you think what do you think of that one?
If they do that, man, I love me some Egbuka, man. I know Pittsburgh knows how to get receivers right and put them in good positions to win, but I just don't like Arthur Smith, man. I do not like Arthur Smith as an OC, man. So I don't want to see any offensive receiver anyway go to Arthur Smith's offense, but I like the landing spot, knowing that Pittsburgh always finds a way with their receivers to just make them irrelevant at some point. So wouldn't mind that landing spot, but I want to see Egbuka, man, go somewhere where I know the quarterback position and he can really light it up. But yeah, not a bad spot. I just don't like the offensive scheme that they have.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, I don't know if I love the fit unless they open up the offense a little bit more. I really like Egbuka. I think he's closer to Chris Olave than people think.
Yeah.
I think he can be somebody that, you know, I think when I came in to the draft and where the Saints took Olave so high, I always saw Olave as like that really, really good number two wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's turned into be a number one, you know, reliable weapon. And I think Egbuka could kind of do the same thing, like route running, catching, all that stuff. I think Egbuka can do the same stuff. So I think if he goes here to pair with George Pickens, like the Steelers really have two really good wide receivers.
Oh,
if
for
that
sure.
Would happen.
For sure. I just say this year one production, if I had to just put it on the scale of, yes, I got to have Egbuka, three teams I would rather see him at: Denver, Houston, and the LA Rams. If he can find out a way to get Egbuka in Denver, Houston, or the LA Rams, sign me up 100%.
I'd love to see him at this team that we're about to talk about, the Chargers, number 22.
Well, I didn't want to say the Chargers because, you know, Ladd is there, but I'm with you, though. I'm with you on that one, too, man.
I mean, they need an outside guy. And
they do.
And
they do.
So,
they
do. Yeah, I mean, Ibuka and McConkey there, that would be great. But yeah. At 22, he has the Chargers taking Colston Loveland, the tight end from Michigan. So, obviously, Harbaugh really knows Loveland well. Oh, Loveland's yeah. been their whole offense for 2 years now. He got injured this year, so he didn't play as much. But yeah, what do you think about Colston Loveland here to the Chargers?
Like you just said, man, Harbaugh is his coach. He's been his coach. And to make this move, I will bank on him to be successful under his coach. So I don't mind that pick at all.
Okay.
Especially if Ibuka is gone.
Yeah. 23, the Packers take Mike Green, the offense or outside linebacker, Marshall. This guy's getting a ton of hype too. He's moving up the draft boards. He might go higher than that. Benjamin Morrison, cornerback, Notre Dame. He goes to the Vikings at 24. The Vikings need all the cornerback help they can get.
Yeah.
Texans, 25, take Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle from Ohio State. Coming off the knee injury, he could fall a little bit here. He could go a little bit higher than this. But Texans taking an offensive tackle, I'm on board with that. The Rams at 26, they take Josh Connerly Jr., the tackle from Oregon, who I think is going to go a little bit higher than this. But, yeah, the Rams could definitely use some offensive line help again. So I like this pick.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore, they take Siobhan Revel Jr., the cornerback from East Carolina. Yeah, I mean, I think the Ravens could definitely use some cornerback help, safety help, that kind of thing in their secondary. You know, the Ravens are kind of a team that don't have too many holes. Like, they could use an offensive lineman for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And secondary, I think. So they address one of those needs here. So I like that pick. Lions at 28, they take James Pierce Jr., the outside linebacker defensive end from Tennessee. Earlier in the offseason, he was like the odds-on favorite to be the number one pick. Didn't have a spectacular season, but he's still really, really good player. Mm-hmm. And the Lions to get this type of talent this late, I love this pick.
Yeah, this is a Philadelphia Eagles type of pick, man, where they just keep getting talent on top of talent on top of talent on the defensive side of the ball. So I like this pick.
Yep. Washington at 29, they get Nick Scorton, the other defensive end from Texas A&M. I like that. Washington, kind of just watching that Eagles game, they definitely need some pass rushing help. So I like this pick a lot for them.
Yep.
Yes, they could probably use some, you know, a second wide receiver. If they could get Ibuka, that would be huge. I would love that.
But this is my number one team for Ibuka if I got a pick. But I only went with the other three because of where he went. But if I had to pick one team, Washington is that team for Ibuka.
Yeah. Next up, Buffalo. They take Maxwell Harrison, the corner from Kentucky. Another guy that's at the Senior Bowl right now, and he had a really good first day from what I saw. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a guy I could definitely see Buffalo taking. They could always use secondary help. They need guys that can help shut down that Kansas City team. 31, they had the Chiefs taking Walter Nolan, the monster defensive tackle from Ole Miss. I think this guy's going to go higher than this as well. So Walter Nolan, but I don't know if you saw some of the Senior Bowl stuff from him yesterday or just some highlights that have been going around to him, but he's a fucking tank.
Yeah, I honestly, I've seen a lot more of the offensive guys than I've seen the defensive guys. So
okay,
especially the running backs. I've been looking at a lot of the running backs out there doing their thing.
And then last, they have the Philadelphia Eagles taking Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle from Michigan. And you know how he loves to take his lineman, big-ass lineman. And I'm sure whether they're picking 31st or 32nd, some, you know, great talent is going to fall to them, and they're just going to get another steal like they always do.
Yep, that's what they do.
That's it for Mel's draft. Let's go ahead. Let's do Daniel Jeremiah's draft real quick, and we'll just go over the I'll go over the top 10, and then after that we'll go through the just the offensive players just cool. to speed this up. But the Titans at number one, they take Abdul Carter from Penn State. So just like the last draft, they got Abdul Carter there. This one, they're taking him at number one. So he said, "Hit my ears perked up when the Titans president of football operations, Chad Brinker, said the team wouldn't pass on a generational talent with the first pick. To me, Carter is the best player in the draft, and he plays a premium position. I could see Tennessee looking to add competition for quarterback Will Levis in the free agent market or later in the draft." So, I mean, I would say Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are probably, you know, the two best players in this draft. So I could see, I wouldn't be shocked if the Titans went Travis Hunter too. So,
yeah, I would say this, right? Not to keep it long, but if Abdul Carter is the guy that they literally generally want, I would literally call the Giants and say, "Look, man, you know, I wouldn't even overcharge him at that point, right? First, I would try to sell it to him, but if they don't want to overpay for the first pick, all right, let's give me something to move up, because Abdul Carter will be there at three, I would think, right? You would think Travis would go to
the I think the Browns have a shot to take him too, but
I know.
That's why, once I thought about it,
I'm like, damn, I might be
if tripping. The Giants move up to take their quarterback, whoever it is, and then, you know, the Titans move to three, and they're guaranteed Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter at that point.
That's the point I'm making. Yeah. I wouldn't take him at one without trying to move to three and just saying, "I'm okay with Travis or Abdul, and we got picks on top of that." So,
right.
I wouldn't just take him at one without at least trying to, you know, unless I'm just setting stone on Abdul, and it just is what it is.
Number two, he has the Cleveland Browns taking Travis Hunter, which we already talked about there. So another pick here for the Browns with Hunter. Three, they have the Giants getting Cam Ward there. I think this would be excellent for Cam Ward if he was able to go to the Giants there. Dable's still there. Malik Nabers. Wandale Robinson. I think Cam Ward can make some magic happen there. So I like that pick.
Yeah.
Patriots, they take Will Campbell, the offensive tackle from LSU. Probably the best offensive lineman in the draft. So I like that. He also has Mason Graham going number five to the Jags. Number six, the Raiders get their Shedeur Sanders and don't have to move up or anything. And Shedeur falls right into their lap. I think this is what the Raiders want to happen this mock draft.
The ultimate, like Pete Carroll is the lucky charm around here. Like, if that happens, Pete Carroll might get a job after coaching to stay with the organization. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Number seven, they have the New York Jets taking Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. He says, "Warren is one of my favorite players in the draft. He will be popular with his quarterback and running backs as a difference-making in-line tight end."
Yeah.
What would you think about Tyler Warren to the Jets at seven?
I think it's too early for them, man, especially coming from a defensive head coach now. Just seemed like a little too early. I like the talent, though, but they got a bigger fish to fry than just tight end, man. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. Number eight, Carolina Panthers select Teteroa McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, getting Bryce Young, his true number one wide receiver.
Yeah, and I just said this on the last one that, you know, a lot of McMillan talk to the Panthers is what, you know, we talked about we want to see, but I just think, man, they got to address that defense. And, this guy's going to be out there in the market. Chris Godwin's, the T. Higgins. I'm not saying that they will go there, but, you know.
I could see Godwin ending up here for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean,
with Canales again.
I was just about to say that. So you
have Adam Thielen, you have Chris Godwin, and then you add Teteroa McMillan and Xavier Leggett and Jalen Coker, like, to give Bryce Young these weapons, man, that would be sick.
Oh, that'd be crazy, man. Hey, that'd be crazy, man.
I mean, Teteroa has a little bit of Mike Evans to his game. I'm not saying he's Mike Evans.
Yeah.
But he has a little bit. He has a little Drake London to his game. So I could see, I could see Tet being here. This would be a good pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
Yep. Nine, they have Mykel Williams, the edge from Georgia that we talked about. So, Saints getting defense. I'm good with that. And then he has the Bears taking Tyler Booker, that monster guard from Alabama. So I like that pick. He has the 49ers taking Armon Membo, the offensive lineman from Missouri. So I like that. He has Dallas taking Ashton Jeanty here at 12. So there's your Ashton Jeanty pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the Cowboys took Jeanty, he'd be buying that jersey the next day.
I mean, I'm not going to say I'd be mad at it. I just don't think they – I don't think they personally will, but I don't think that that's a smart bet to make knowing that structure of this team. But, hey, they feel like Dak is already paid. CeeDee Lamb just got paid. Micah needs to be paid. It's time to win right now. I don't see how you think you would hire this coach for that, but roster-wise, it is time to win right now, right? The O-line has gotten old. All those the good talent you had is pretty much old or gone. If you're going to bet for any year to try to win it, it's now. I think when they got Zeke, they thought it was time. I think it was Romo's team, not Dak's team. It just ended up falling in that way. But the O-line was built. The D, everything was ready for let's win now. So if you think there's time to win now, Jerry, take Ashton, man. Do your thing.
13, they have Miami taking Calvin Banks Jr. So I'm on board with that for sure. Miami taking offensive line.
They that for sure.
Let's see the next offensive lineman. We're going down quite a bit here.
Oh, 21. Yeah, it's a defensive draft right here, bro.
Yeah, 21. He has the Steelers taking Matthew Golden, the wide receiver from Texas. I think, yeah, like he said, he doesn't see the Steelers going wrong here with Golden or Egbuka. But he really likes Matthew Golden, too, and I like Golden as well. So this is a solid pick here for the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Luther Burden's still on the block, though, bro. I don't know, man. Yeah. I mean, some people fell off on Luther a little bit, man, but I just think the talent of Luther, bro, he's the number two receiver to me.
Okay. Then he has the Chargers taking Colston Loveland, which we talked about in Mel's draft as well. At 22, 25 is where Luther Burden ends up. He goes to the Texans.
That's where I thought Mbuka would have went on the last one, so I like that. I actually love that.
He says Burden reminds me of Stephon Diggs. So that's a little bit of a comparison there for you, Burden as Diggs.
Yeah, well, you know I was high on Diggs all last year, man, and hopefully my Cowboys sign Diggs this offseason and get the Diggs family together, man. Let's have a barbecue down in Texas, baby. So, but I like Luther, man, for this team for sure.
And then the Rams take Josh Conley Jr. again in this draft, the tackle from Oregon. Would love that. 27. I actually want to get your opinion on this guy because I've heard he was maybe Todd McShay said he was the best player at the Senior Bowl yesterday, day one. And that was Azare Thomas, the corner from Florida State. He loves Thomas.
I mean, the one thing we know about Baltimore, no matter how bad their defense didn't, look like how they usually look, anytime you put a guy, especially a cornerback, in this defense, I think that D-line and the linebackers kind of help those guys grow and look better than maybe what they even are. So, yeah, man, if you're ever going to bet on a cornerback going and being successful with a team, hopefully, because what was Nate Wiggins this year? How was Nate this year?
He was okay. Like, I think he started off slow, but it took him a little bit to get his footing.
I also think that the offensive scheme is changing Baltimore too, right? So they're not just a boring run team for a whole three quarters. Like, Lamar threw the ball more. He looked more efficient. So I think that kind of made the defense change their scheme. But I like Thomas, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm an FSU guy, man. I'm a little biased. You can't ask me about my guys, man. But
that's why I was asking you, like, what did you think of Thomas just kind of watching this year? Do you think he's worthy of a first round pick?
Well, I was gonna say, I definitely, if I had to put him in the first round, late first is where I would put him. Like this Baltimore pick, the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills, somewhere in that range between 32 and 28 is definitely 27 is definitely where he should be. In this draft. So I like this pick and where he's landed at for sure.
Okay. Washington Commanders at 29, they take Josh Simmons, the tackle from Ohio State. So I like that, getting Jaden Daniels some offensive line help. And that is it. The rest of it was all defense. So a lot of defense there for Daniel Jeremiah and his mock draft, but a really good mock draft, honestly. All right, so me and Fizz, we're going to go ahead. We're going to do our mock draft here on the PFF.com mock simulator. So we can do some trades if you want to. I'm open to doing like maybe a couple trades here. But let's see here. So we have the Titans up at number one. What would you think of the Titans. Maybe should we do our trade back here with the Giants?
I was just about to say, if I had to do any trade, or the only trade, that's the one I would say. Titans move back with the Giants, and Giants get their guy, and the Titans get their guy. It all works out for everybody.
All right, I'm good with that. Let's see here. All right, here we go with the trade. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to go to the New York Giants here. They're going to swap 1 and 3. I think you would probably have to give up your 2026 first as well. They would probably ask for that. And then let's say they give them pick 65 and pick, 155 in this draft as well. So they and get 169 back. So pick 3, 65, 155, and 2026 first. They get back the number one overall pick and 169. So they move back from 155 to 169, give up basically 2 firsts and a 3rd.
Yeah. You think they got to give up a whole first, though, to move up 2 spots? I'm not saying they shouldn't. But
I think they would have to, yeah, just to get to get your quarterback. Yeah, I think they would have to.
All right. I mean, I'm with it.
And to stop, the Raiders from moving up or whoever.
That's true.
From moving up.
I mean, you
could,
if I'm the Titans, yeah, I'm definitely selling it. Like, hey man, we got other people. What you gonna do? You know? So I'm not sure how those war rooms work in real life, but I know how our dynasty leagues work. And hey man, I got other offers, so what's up? So with you, man. Make them pay. Forget the Giants. Yeah, make them pay everything, man.
All right, so we're going to do that. We're going to have them move up. So we're going to start the draft here.
Cool.
So the Giants move up to number one. I think they would move up for Cam Ward. I think he's the best player, best quarterback in the draft, in my opinion. Or do you think they would take Sanders?
I think if they're moving up, bro, they're moving up to take Shador. If Cam falls to them, I don't think they're mad. But if they're moving up, they're moving up to take Shador, bro.
Okay, I'm with you on this one. You're the guest. We'll go Shador here. So the Giants trade up and take Shador.
I think they're okay with either one, but I think if they're moving up, they're moving up for Shador. If Cam falls, they're not going to be mad either, though.
Right. Number two overall, the Cleveland Browns. I think if Cam Ward were to fall, I think the Browns would consider. I don't think they would consider Shador, but I think Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter there are really, really interesting as well. I think this is a really good dilemma to really talk about here. I think if I were the Browns here, man, it's between Hunter and Carter here for me. I don't think you can go wrong with either player.
I was about to say, man, if you want Cam Ward here, man, you're going to bless New England and the Titans with Hunter. Yeah. Like that's just gonna be man. I know Mike Ray was sitting there like, whoo, you know.
Yeah. Let's go ahead. Let's take Travis Hunter here. I think he makes sense. He can help the quarter or the defense and the offense. I mean, I would really love to get Abdul Carter here to pair with Myles Garrett. I think that would be absolutely fucking insane.
Yeah, crazy man. I mean, in the division that they're in.
Yeah.
Boy, good luck if you play quarterback over there.
You know what? Yeah, let's switch it up because the other two mock drafts that we did had Travis Hunter. Let's go Abdul Carter here at number two to the Browns.
All right. There we go.
All right. Browns take Abdul Carter, number two. Number three here, the Titans are back up on the clock. Travis Hunter is still sitting there. They could go offensive line. They could still take Cam Ward here.
Yeah.
Do you think they move back to and still take Cam Ward, or do you think they would take Travis Hunter?
I think they got to get their guy. They got to just take Cam Ward and just roll with the punches. I mean, if you really want to move on from Will Levis, it's just go ahead and just do it, man.
All right. Here we go. Cam Ward, number three to the Titans. I think they probably still get their guy. If they really think the Giants want to move up for Shador and they really like Shador, I think that would be a huge coup if they could pull that off.
Yeah.
The Patriots here at number four. Travis Hunter sitting there. I think that's the pick.
100%. Lock it in, brother. Lock it in. Yeah.
Travis Hunter there, number four to the Patriots. Number five here for the Giants. So they definitely need interior defensive line. They need interior offensive line. They could use a corner. We've seen both of our mock drafts that we did today had Mason Graham here, and I wouldn't mind Mason Graham here. I think that's a good pick. Or we could go with Will Campbell.
I was gonna say you said the Giants. You mean the Jags?
Or the Jags? I'm sorry.
No, you good. Hold on, I'm saying I lost my damn thing. Yeah, I mean we just seen Mason Graham pretty much, you know, across the board. So I believe they should maybe go O line, but I'm cool with Mason Graham though.
All right, let's go Mason Graham there. Now the Las Vegas Raiders are up. They lost both of their quarterbacks here. They could use running back. Could they be the team that pulls an Ashton Jeanty here and have Brock Bowers and Ashton Jeanty on the same team?
Could I'm going to say, man.
Could they go Tattaroa McMillan?
Pete Carroll's in the building. One thing I know, he's going to make a splash play, bro. He's not going to give us a boring draft. I believe he's going to do something wild and crazy, man. I'm not going to say Ashton. I'm going to try to be a little bit respectful. I'm going to say
Tattaroa. I mean, I think the Raiders need to win now.
Yeah, like, I mean, well, they're not going to win.
Pete's not in a spring chicken. He's in his 70s.
I'm with you. But I think he's going to bring life and love and a whole lot of excitement, fireworks there. Hey, bro, this is my draft. Let's switch it up, E. Let's go Ashton Jeanty number 6, baby. Let's light it up. Let's put them fireworks popping and get the streets going crazy at that safari, whatever that stupid thing is. Yeah, man. I like that. Let's go Ashton Jeanty at 6, baby.
All right. Ashton Jeanty, number 6.
Yeah, just imagine what X is going to be. Just imagine, bro, right? It's going to go crazy, man.
Imagine Fizzle on the South Harmon live draft stream.
Hey, imagine Brock Bowers not getting replaced by another pass catcher, man. You know what I'm saying?
What if they, I mean, what if they go
Michael Mayer, you know?
What if they take Tyler Warren? Make Michael Mayer.
They can't do that to me, man. We gotta have my boy Michael Mayer, man. Come on, man. Come on, Kyle. Right. Trade for Michael Mayer, man.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. The Jets at 7. So they need defensive backs. They need defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Tattaroa McMillan is here. Could they go with, if they get rid of Davante Adams, could they go Tet McMillan here to give, you know, Garrett Wilson a running mate? I could see that. I could also see Aaron Glenn wanting some defensive backs here. So Will Johnson's still sitting here. Malachi Starks. They definitely could still use offensive line. So there's still Will Camp. Every offensive lineman's still available. We saw Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah. Daniel Jeremiah had Tyler Warren, the tight end. Mm-hmm. And I believe Mel had a defensive lineman. I think he had Mikel Williams. Let me just double check that real quick. I believe it was Michael. Yeah, he had Michael Williams there. So two different philosophies there. Who are you liking here for the Jets at 7?
To me, it's got to be cornerback or O-line, man. I don't mind the O-line at all.
Yeah.
But it's either cornerback or O-line for me. If I'm, you know,
I mean, if Will Johnson's the number one corner outside of Travis Hunter here, pairing up Will Johnson and Sauce Gardner for years. Whew.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it got to be corner or O-line. So I let you call it. I'm good on either or, though.
I'm good taking Will Johnson here. I think that would be a good pick for them.
I'm with that. That's cool. I'm good.
All right, let's go Will Johnson there to the Jets at number 7. Number 8, the Panthers are up on the clock. So Tet is there. Malachi Starks is there.
Lock it in, Tet, baby. Tet. One thing we learned about this game, especially as an offensive coordinating mind, as your head coach, you're going to want your guy, man. Forget that defense. You seen the Cincinnati Bengals skip offensive line and defense for years. They just said, we're going to draft all the offensive players and keep it going. So, hey, you got to be able to put up points in this league, baby. So let's go Tet with this one, man.
All right, number 9 here, the Saints. They could use wide receiver, tight end, or defensive line. So pretty much all the defensive linemen are there. I think Michael Williams would probably be my pick if I was looking at it here. I don't think they would go Luther Burden or Ibuka this high. I don't think they would take Tyler Warren, who their PFF is saying is one of their needs. I could see offensive linemen too. They could use some help there, but yeah, I mean, there's some good defensive linemen still here for sure.
Yeah, then, we can go Mykal Williams, bro. I'm cool with that.
Okay, you're good with Mykal. So we'll go with Mykal Williams, the edge rusher from Georgia. So I like that pick here as well. Number 10 here, the Chicago Bears. I think we got to look offensive line there. Will Campbell still sitting there in our draft. I think that's Will Campbell all day.
Yeah, oh, yeah, 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 100%, 100%.
Okay.
If he's still there, yeah, that's what I really want the Jags to take. So I'm with you if he's still there for them.
I think here for 49ers, they need offensive line help. I think Kelvin Banks Jr. is still here. Josh Connerly is still here. I think Connerly can go this high too. I think a lot of people kind of soured on Kelvin Banks, so I wouldn't mind making a different splash here and go Connerly here if you want to do that.
Yeah, for the 49ers, yeah, definitely, definitely.
All right, we're going to take Josh Connerly Jr., the offensive tackle from Oregon, up here at number 11. Dallas Cowboys on the clock. So Luther Burden is still here if you wanted to go Luther Burden. There's some edge guys like Mike Green who's getting a lot of buzz. Let's take a look at some of the other edge guys here. There's James Pierce, Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M who's getting a lot of love too.
Yeah.
And then let's see, they also could use some offensive line help. So Josh Simmons is still there. Calvin Banks from Texas is still there too. Yeah, he's been getting a lot of buzz. Interior offensive line, you know, Memembo, who we talked about earlier from Missouri, mm-hmm. still there. So yeah, there's Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama, the mammoth guard.
To me, honestly, got to be one of them offensive linemen or edge or O line for me.
Okay.
I mean, I know Booker is there. It's edge or O line. Dallas, sometimes they take guys in their backyard, like, you know, Banks is there. You know, they
Shamar Stewart's getting a lot of buzz too. Shamar Stewart and Mike Green. I would probably think maybe Shamar Stewart, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, O-line or you know, the D-line specifically. So, I mean, Texas A&M right down the street too, right? So,
yep.
We can go Shamar Stewart. I'm good with that one. I'm good with that
one. Okay. Shamar Stewart, the edge from Texas A&M, going here. 13, the Miami Dolphins are now on the clock. And I think they need to go offensive line badly. And Kelvin Banks is still sitting here. We had a couple of the other offensive linemen that are still sitting here as well. The Tyler Bookers. And then let's take a look at the tackles. There's Simmons. But I think this would be a good spot for Banks because he could play tackle or guard.
Yep, I already put him in on my side, brother. I'm with you.
Sweet. Then the Colts are up here at 14. So they could use, I could see a Malachi Starks here for sure. I could see them going tight end with like Tyler Warren. I think they could use some edge help too. So Mike Green could definitely be somebody that they look at. A couple other of these edge guys.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think here for the Colts?
Well, remember last year, they was almost in a similar position, and we had them taking Brock Bowers for so long, and almost every mock, it was like Brock on there for the most part for me. So it's between Starks and Warren, man, and offensive-minded coach, bro. I'm going to go Tyler Warren, man, unfortunately. I don't want to see him go there because I don't know what it's going to look like, but let's go Tyler Warren. Maybe they say, let's go Tyler Warren and give A-Rich no excuse. He got talent at every position. So if he doesn't work out, we gave him everything he needed. You know what I'm saying?
I'm good with that. All right, Falcons are up, and they could use wide receiver, edge, linebacker, corner. So I think there is a certain linebacker that's still sitting out there mm-hmm. from Georgia. Keep the Georgia guy in state. I think they go Jalen Walker here.
Okay. All right. I don't mind that, man. You got defensive-minded guy over there. I like that pick, bro. So – We know offensively they kind of got things set in order. So
yeah, I mean, they could use their own little Micah Parsons that could play off-ball linebacker and come rushing off the edge too. So yeah. I think that would be a great pick there for the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Malachi Starks is one of the guys too, like you said, being in the backyard. But I don't mind that one either, bro. So
yeah, I think their safety position is a little more secure than their
it is.
Edge.
It
is. So, I mean, they literally haven't had a good pass rusher since Jonathan Abram.
Yeah, it's been a while, so, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's been a while. Arizona's up, so they could use guard, tackle, defensive line. So I think the offensive line here, there's Tyler Booker, who's gotten a lot of hype. So I think that's probably a candidate for one of our picks here. Josh Simmons, Memembo, the tackle from Missouri, is still there. I think I would probably take Tyler Booker.
The Arizona Cardinals. Yep. Arizona. I'm with you. I'm over here typing in my other pick. Yeah, I'm with you. Yep.
Okay. So let me find Booker on this list here. Interior.
You know, that's the one thing about PFF, man. Their players be so far down versus
some of them.
Right. Yeah, so that's why I'm like, where these players at, man? I'm over here tripping. Like, where they at?
Right. So the Bengals are up here. I think the Bengals are interesting. Do you think T. Higgins walks, or do you think they keep T. Higgins?
Hey, man, let Joe Burrow tell it. He ain't let him go. But he also said that after he signed the richest contract, so I don't know. Like, you can't ask to keep players when you didn't sacrifice any of your money. So, yeah. I don't know, man. I'm a bank on them doing it and keeping T because it seems like they really want to get past the Chiefs really bad or get past Lamar and them first. But I know losing Higgins, no matter what rookie they get in at the receiver position, it's still the unknown, right? Like you don't know. With T, you know. So I think personally they're going to try to do whatever it takes to keep T around. I wouldn't go receiver for them in the draft in the first round.
Okay. I think I would probably go with an edge rusher then, either Mike Green or James Pierce Jr.
I was going to go with your guy, Mike Green, bro. That was going to be my pick. Yep.
Okay. Let's go Mike Green here, edge rusher, to the Cincinnati Bengals, who definitely could use some help there.
Yeah.
The Seahawks are now on the clock, so they could use a little bit of interior offensive line, an edge rusher, linebacker, so they could use, like a James Pierce would probably work there too. They could go with, Jack Sawyer, Nick Scorton. You know, there's definitely a couple guys that they could go with there. Who are you feeling here?
James Pierce is like – they're probably the number one guy on the edge right now. So, if I had to bank on one, I would just say Pierce and Scorton would be right behind him.
Okay. I'm good with that. So let's go James Pierce here to the Seahawks at 18. So 19 is up. The Tampa Bay Bucks are here. I think Malachi Starks falling this far to pair up with Antoine Winfield, I think that would maybe be a home run. So let's go Malachi here. Okay. Malachi Starks to the Tampa Bay Bucks to pair up with Winfield. I think that would give them probably one of the best safety combos in the league.
Definitely.
20 here with the Broncos up. So Ashton Jeanty is not there. They could use tight end, linebacker, safety as well. Do they screw over the Chargers here and go with Colston Loveland?
You know what's so funny, E? We must be on the same wavelength, bro, because I was looking to see how far the Chargers were from here and if the Broncos could maybe sell this pick and move, you know, try to get somebody to move up, or try to get the Chargers to move up, but the Pittsburgh Steelers wouldn't need to move up in front of them. So,
right.
I'm not going to lie, man. Luther Burden is still on the board, bro.
They could take Burden, too.
You know, I mean, you got Vele out there, Lil Jordan Humphreys. I mean, he's not guys that any defense is scared of.
Yeah, and this tight end class is super deep.
Exactly. And you have your quarterback in Bo Nix. You have a resurge of Cortland Sutton. Man, go get Luther Burden and run up the score, man. Like again, in that division, you chasing the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, how do you beat the Chiefs? You got to score points. So
All right. Go
get Luther Burden, man.
I'm with it. So the Broncos take Luther Burden at 20, 21. The Steelers are up. Do they go with the Mecca Ibuka here? Do they go with Matthew Golden? They could still use some offensive line help. Josh Simmons is there. They could take a corner. Benjamin Morrison here. Your Florida State guy is here. There's definitely some guys here. Memembo, the tackle. The Steelers could always use offensive line help. I think I'm kind of leaning towards Ibuka, though.
Unfortunately, I am too, bro. Like I said,
okay.
Fantasy-wise, though, it'll make me push him back a little bit. But for real life, it's a good pick.
Okay. Let's go Egbuka there at 21 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. 22, the Chargers are up. Do we just pencil in Colston Loveland here?
For right now, I guess let's just keep the trend going, brother. Let's not stop it. So
Colston Loveland there to the Chargers. So at 23 here, the Packers are up. So they could use some secondary help. They could use, you know, maybe a center. I don't think there's a center worth taking this high.
First.
I mean, they could always use, you know, edge rushers as well. So like Nick Scorton, I think would be a solid pick here. They could also use defensive backs corner. So like Benjamin Morrison's here. I like that pick.
Yeah.
Revel, the East Carolina corner. I could see your Florida State guy going here too.
Yeah, this is a landing spot for him. But if I had to go one, I would go Benjamin Morrison though.
Okay. So we'll go Benjamin Morrison.
If I had to go cornerback.
I think that's probably a good spot for them, to be honest with you. I think the receivers got eaten up before them. Like, I really think Burden or Egbuka could definitely be in play there for them.
Yeah.
But I really like that pick there.
And you they don't enjoy taking receivers in the first round, but I don't know why. They just don't do it. Like,
right. The Vikings are up here. They could use running back, guard, defensive, interior defensive line, and corner. I think this is where we tap that interior defensive line market. I think this would be, he's probably gone way before this, but I think Walter Nolan, the monster defensive tackle there from Ole Miss, this would be a great pick for the Vikings.
I mean, sound like Flores is still going to be there, so. Yeah, I'm with it. Yeah. I'm with you. Yep.
So give them a interior pass rusher, big monster in the middle. I think that's a great pick for them too.
I'm with you.
Texans, they could use offensive line help. They could maybe use another wide receiver. I think Matthew Golden would be my top wide receiver that's left. You know, they could use some defensive line help too. So Kenneth Grant or the let me get his name here. Deone Walker, the big defensive tackle from Kentucky, that's 6'7", 340. I think he could be in play here for the Texans.
If I had to give my guess, though, I'm going to go, you know, we lost Tank Dell for the year. Stephon Diggs is gone. Let's just go get another guy, man. I would go Matthew Golden right in the backyard in Texas. I would go Golden if I had to go, you know. CJ, it's time to got to win now while your quarterback is under contract, man. So,
yeah,
got to put up some points, bro. So I would go with my guy if I really wanted him. I like this.
The interior offensive linemen leave a lot to be desired. So I agree with you there. All right, if you want to go, this is your draft. We'll go Matthew Golden. I'm good with it.
Yeah. I think it's just, you know, secure your guy with weapons and try to figure out the rest.
The Rams are up here at 26. I think either Memembo or Josh Simmons are the easy pick here.
Yep, I'm with you. Either or, I'm with you.
I think both of our drafts before had Memembo going higher. So we'll go Memembo here. What Mel and DJ were seeing. So the Ravens here, wide receiver, tight end, edge, corner. So they could use a lot here. I think either Nick Scorton, the really good pass rusher from Texas A&M, could be a pick. I could also see Josh Simmons here, a really good guy who should go a lot higher than this that fell because of injury. That seems like a Ravens pick to me.
Yeah. You know how the Ravens are, man. They draft whoever they draft, and I just believe that it's going to work, bro. So they can go all types of ways, you know, most of the time. Yeah.
And they can use corner, too, obviously. So they could go with your Florida State guy. I wouldn't mind that pick either.
That's what I'm saying. Nick Scorton, Jack Soy. I mean, they can go either way, bro. So I'm with any position. If you want to go Florida State, we can do it. But I'm with either defensive position as far as edge and cornerback goes.
Let's go with the Florida State guy. I've liked what I've seen from him and heard about him. So we'll go with Azaray Thomas, the corner from Florida State here. The Detroit Lions are now up. So center, guard, edge, linebacker. So they could use a lot here.
Yeah.
I think Nick Scorton probably would be a really good pick too. for them.
Jack, this is a Sawyer or Scordon pick for me.
Or we go with that safety that everyone was comparing to Malachi Starks, the Amor Ware from South Carolina. I think that could be another pick too, because I could use, I could see the pairing him up with Brian Branch would be really nice. I mean, they have the one kid who did pretty good for them this year, so maybe it's not the greatest pick, but Scorton would probably be a good pick to pair up with Aiden Hutchinson, the rush to passer.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you call it E, but I will go with D-line to me, the edge.
Okay,
sure.
We'll go with Nick Scorton, the edge. Yeah, I'm good with that. Washington is up. They need wide receiver, tackle, edge, corner. I think Josh Simmons is still sitting here. They could use a tackle. I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, lock him in, brother.
Okay. Buffalo's up. They could use a lot of defensive line help. Defensive line, linebacker, corner. I think there's still some couple corners out here that we could look at. Jade Barron from Texas, the Siobhan Revel from East Carolina that's gotten a lot of hype. Maxwell Harrison, who we talked about a little bit, from Kentucky. So I think there's three guys there. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the linebackers while we're up here. Linebacker. So, yeah, there's that Jihad Campbell from Alabama who's gotten a lot of hype recently too.
Yeah.
Not too many other linebackers that I'm seeing. And then defensive line, Kenneth Grant is still there. Tyleek Williams from Ohio State is there. Dion Walker, the Kentucky defensive tackle. Can you imagine Ed Oliver and Dion Walker next to each other? Holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what the pick or position, it got to be defense for the Buffalo.
Yeah. You know what? I want to get him into our first round. I'm going to put Dion Walker, the defensive tackle from Kentucky, the 6'7", 340 behemoth next to Ed Oliver.
All right, let's get it. I'm with it.
I think that would be a huge pick for them. The Eagles are now up at 31. They could use wide receiver, guard, edge, corner. So they could use pretty much anything. I've heard that this is probably Darius Slay's last season there.
Yeah, I heard it.
So too. I could see maybe them taking a corner here. Maybe they take Harrison from Kentucky or Revel from East Carolina.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I was trying to get my dog a treat, and he ain't want it. yeah, I mean, I'm with you on both, though. I think that's a position of need, probably most likely. And you got a D-line like Philly had, man. It makes every cornerback and safety and everybody behind there look good. So that's a position of need at this point for me. So,
all right, let's go Revel then at corner there.
Cool.
And then 32, I think – they might not need it, but I think we take this safety, Amor Ware from Carolina, who's South Carolina, who's kind of fallen. And I think he's just another guy that falls into the Chiefs' lap, you know, just another good player.
Yep, just another. I mean, when you picking like 30, 31 with a Chiefs pick seem every single year, you kind of get that first best talent of the second round, but best talent of the last round. So a lot of guys that, you know, we look at his first, second round talents. They either fall to the Chiefs and they just get, you know, find a way to plug them in. So I'm with whatever position you really go on this one, bro. I just trust the Chiefs to make it happen.
Yeah, no, I'm good with it. I'm actually going to throw it up in our Discord under the mock drafts and let people see what they say about it.
Cool. You know we're gonna get the most flack about that pick six, man. That Genty six, buddy. Everybody gonna think I'm crazy. Let them know that I picked that one too.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll put it in there for sure.
They're gonna think I'm crazy.
I'll post it up there for everybody to look at in the chat there. So yeah, I like our draft. I mean, I'll go over the top 10 again real quick. Shedeur Sanders with a trade with the Titans goes number 1. Abdul Carter to the Browns at 2. Cam Ward at 3 to the Titans. Patriots take Travis Hunter at 4. Mason Graham 5 to the Jags. 6, the Raiders take Ashton Jeanthey. 7, the Jets take Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan. 8, the Carolina Panthers take Teterolo McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona. 9, the Saints take Michael Williams, the edge from Georgia. And then 10, Will Campbell, LSU, the tackle, goes to the Bears at 10. So, I like our mock draft. I think maybe, you know, there could be a couple picks we could switch around here, but somebody's got to fall in these drafts sometimes. So
got to, because you know you're too generic, man, and you might as well copy and paste from everybody else, bro. So got to switch it up, man. We're gonna have so many mocks going on. We have these picks, we probably move around our damn self. So
right. So yeah, we'll be doing mock draft Mondays. If you're not a part of the South Harmon Patreon, go to patreon.com/South Harmon. Just South Harmon. And we are going to be doing mock draft Mondays in the Discord here coming up soon. So if you are one of those people who love to do mock drafts, take over a team and do some mock drafts with us, we're all going to get in voice chat. Mike will probably pull up the cam so we can all see the draft board there, and talk with the community and talk with everybody. Talk about what kind of draft picks you would make for these teams. It's a lot of fun. We're probably going to do it most Mondays is when we do it. So yeah, I definitely recommend checking it out, man.
Yep. For sure. I think starting this Monday, actually, coming
yeah.
up. So.
Yeah, I won't be there, unfortunately. I'll be at Monday Night Raw, which is in Cleveland. Oh, yeah. So
you like it wrong, fucking, man.
I fucking have sweet seats. I'll send some pics in the Discord. But,
for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be the night after. Oh, it's the first show after the Royal Rumble. So it's definitely a huge show every year. Pretty much whoever wins the Royal Rumble is the, you know, picks which champion that they're going to face at WrestleMania. So it's always a star-studded show. Probably get John Cena. John Cena will be there. I'm sure the Rock might be there. So
they on Netflix now too, right?
Yeah, they're on Netflix on Mondays. Yeah, it's been doing really good.
Okay. All right.
So
I'm going to have to check that out. Knowing that you there, man, I'm going to have to check that out.
I'll be on TV. I should be. I'm not sure 100%. So are sure you assigned? Seats. No.
Are you a sign creator guy? Oh, no. Well, you got to make sure, bro. Listen, you can, matter of fact, make an America's Game sign, bro. That's what we need. Make an America's Game sign.
There you go.
Put America's Game on Monday Night Raw, baby. That's what I want to see, man. That's the only way I'm going to look at it.
Maybe I'll wear my America's Game t-shirt and I'll just do one of these.
There we go. There we go.
But, yeah, I mean, check out the patreon.com/South Harmon. Check out the website as well, southharmonff.com. The Warp Tool, especially if you're doing startups right now and just even during the season and helping you with trades, man, the Warp Tool is just huge. I think you guys need to get in on that. You know, we're the only tool that has a warp, multi-year warp as well. We're the only tool that has that in the space. So make sure you guys get in on that. You know, it's going to help you a lot with a lot of your leagues. The lab is on there as well. Team reviews are big too. If you have questions about your team, you don't know what to do, you have all these draft picks coming up, or you have an older team and how should I go about making it younger, sign up for a team review from myself, Koopa, Maddie's on there, I believe. Mike, Adam are all on there as well. You can pick whoever you want to do it, or two of us to do it. You can join us in on it as well and ask questions to us live. Whatever you want to do, team reviews are definitely a big help for you. So if you are interested in some team reviews, I would definitely check that out as well on the southharmonff.com website.
Yeah, no better time to do it now, right? Picks coming up real soon, so.
Yeah, picks coming up, trades. You know,
figure out what route to go with it. Yep.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Fizz, anything you got for us before we head on out of here, man? Oh, we got to do an America's favorite game. I forgot.
I was about to say. I guess Monday Night Raw was the game. I don't know.
No. I got to come up with America's favorite game. You got one for me this week?
Give me a wrestling one, since this will be done.
The wrestling one. All right. You don't follow it still, do you?
I haven't a long time, brother. I ain't gonna lie. So
give me some attitude era
guys.
Give me your favorite wrestling match that you've watched that you were like, man, this is the fucking best. Give me your favorite wrestling match that you've watched.
I will say my favorite of all time, maybe because I was a kid and I just was going crazy over it, was probably Mankind versus Undertaker in a cage match. And
the
Mankind thrown off the top, and that was just like the most insane, crazy thing. Like,
yeah,
you know, that was like the wrestling Jerry Springer. Like, he was just wow. So I would say probably my most outrageously like shock moment match was that. But okay. If I had to give a favorite, I want to say, and I actually just found a wrestling cassette or VHS tape in my closet. Like, I'm not sure what else is recorded at the end of that, though. You know, back in the 90s, it was crazy. But, right. I will say, you know, my boy Shawn Michaels, man, my GOAT, that's my guy. Him versus, was it The Undertaker?
Yeah, him and Undertaker had two really good WrestleMania matches, yeah. And that was going to be mine.
I want to say him versus Undertaker, bro. Shawn Michaels was always my favorite guy. I always wanted to be the sexy playboy anyway, so that's my guy right there, man. Shawn Michaels, HBK all the way, but I think my favorite was him and Undertaker, and my most shock value one of just like, this is insane, probably was the Mankind and Undertaker, so okay. I would go with them too.
All right, yeah, I agree with you. Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker at WrestleMania is probably the match where I was like, holy shit, this is fucking good. And they had back-to-back matches 2 years in a row. I still remember the lead-up video of it, like for the second one, which is really, really good. I still watch it from time to time. Like, the build-up to that story to Shawn Michaels getting a redemption match against Undertaker, it's just classic. That's probably my favorite. Yeah, shocking moment. Definitely the Mankind Undertaker one is up there. God, I'm trying to think of another one that comes to the top of my head. Like, I remember this one time, I don't even think it was on a pay-per-view. I think it was on a Raw or something. Like, Jeff Hardy jumped off like the fucking Titantron. Where the video board is, like a swanton bomb. I'm like, this dude's fucking crazy.
Yeah, man, them dudes, man. Surprised a lot of them still walking, man. At this, you know, Mick Foley kind of got that limp, and a lot of them guys, man. I'm surprised they even got bones, bro. They might be sore at some point, you know.
The very first TLC match with Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys and the Dudley Boys. And I believe it was either Matt or Jeff Hardy were hanging on to the titles above the ring because it was a ladder match, obviously. And they're hanging on, and fucking Edge jumps off and does the spear and spears them off the titles into the ground.
I remember that.
That was the spear in the air.
Yeah, that was wild. Yeah, that was wild.
That was wild. Yeah.
See, though, and you know what? I enjoy like when A&E had those, you know, I forgot what they called them, but they went back
the
and
biographies.
At,
yeah.
Yeah, the little biography things. And then we had the Vince McMahon thing. And regardless of like the full story, just looking at those clips and highlights and moments of time, bro, I want to say that Vince McMahon one, bro, even though he's pretty much, you know, seems like a piece of shit at this point, right? Yeah. With everything he's done. But his whole story coming up is what we grew up on. And just looking, I really watched that like, bro, wrestling was crazy, bro. Like, as an adult now, how the hell was I even able to watch this? It was wild, man. So I do love those moments and those times. And hopefully one day my son get into wrestling, man. I do want to get back in it. I just know I'm not going to do it because I'm probably not. But if my son wants to, he'll bring me back to it.
Yeah, I mean, right now, like, this is the hottest they've been since the Attitude Era. Like, wrestling is on fire right now. So.
I've been hearing a lot about it. I just, you know, now I do like, you know, wearing the throwback shirts and the jackets and all that. But I'm one of those, you know how like people say, man, I don't like none of this new music. I like old music. That's how I am with wrestling. I'm kind of that old head hater of.
I mean, they're implementing like a lot of like, I don't want to say rap, but like that kind of music. Like, I think Travis Scott does the Monday Night Raw opening entrance theme now. Mm-hmm. He's doing his song is the WrestleMania theme song this year too. So I'm sure he's going to be at WrestleMania probably performing his song. They're getting a lot of those, hip hop artists and stuff into there now. So it's pretty cool, man. What they got going on.
Yeah. Nah. Well, one thing I know about WWE, if you hot, they want you there, baby. So, you know, long as you on top of the charts, man. Just make sure, I don't know if you heard Sexy Red singing the Heartbreak Kid music, but we got to get her out of here, man. We can't have her.
She's been on a couple times. I'm like, what are we
get doing? Her out of here, man. Make a paper plane from the crowd and just use your rubber band and just pluck her right in the head with it, man. So,
yeah, a lot of the hip hop artists are all in the wrestling, man. Like, they were just in Atlanta Monday night, and there was probably four or five different ones that they showed on camera. That were all there. I don't know all of them off the top of my head.
Yeah,
I know,
but like,
two chains was there, and
it makes sense. We actually have a guy from our area. He was in the he was heavy in the wrestling. He actually raps. I'm sure you know who he is. He I don't know if he's with. I think he with TNA now, because I follow him. Black guy. He was with a group. It was like four or five of them.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. They were. I think he's a TNA now. I forget what the hell his name is.
Yeah, because he battle raps now. He's from here, though. He's from my area. I think he grew up probably like 15 minutes from where I live.
I'm going to look it up real quick.
Yeah, what is his name? Damn.
Right now it is, let's see. Oh, I know who you're talking about. As soon as I see his name, I'm going to know who it is.
I'm literally trying to.
AJ Francis is his name.
Yep. AJ Francis. Yep.
He's him. A big dude, too.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
He looks like I think he played football before.
I was just about to say. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. He's pretty good. I liked him when, he wasn't doing anything, but. If you ever you watched the A&E stuff, did you watch the like Hidden Treasures one where they went around and he was the host on it?
Yep, he's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from here. Yep. I know a lot of people that know him personally, so.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, he's a cool dude, man. I like with the stuff that he's been doing. He's been doing good stuff, so.
Mhm. Yep.
And then one more quick one. Your favorite all-time Shawn Michaels? That's your guy?
Oh, yeah, 100%, bro. No question.
Shawn Michaels. All right, I'm a Stone Cold guy.
Hey, look, Stone Cold is right. He like 101, 102 for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm going with Stone Cold off the, you know, my favorite actual like badass wrestler. But if we talking my style of play, you know, how I like to finesse and look good, I'm going with Shawn Michaels, baby.
Yeah, I just want the flick your boss off, give him a stunner, drink some
I'm
beer.
I'm
always Stone Cold. He was just so entertaining, man.
Yeah, no, he was, man. That, like I said, that era is unmatched to me. It's not that I can't get into the new one, but man, I get so stuck
on
that.
Do you got Peacock?
I had it and I got rid of it.
Oh, okay. Maybe
I got Netflix, so
yeah. But Peacock, you get it this weekend. You can watch the Royal Rumble with the kid on Saturday night.
For real?
There you go.
Yeah, like $4.99. No football this weekend either, man. So you know we got.
Oh. That's how WWE plans it. They're like, oh, what weekend is the Pro Bowl? Yep. Oh, we're going to do the...
yeah, nobody cares about that, right?
Nobody cares about the Pro Bowl. But no, Fizz, appreciate you jumping on here, man. Pretty much next month, I'm going to go through and do my months again. So quarterback month, running back month, wide receiver, tight end month, and that's going to lead us right up to the draft here again. So... excited to do that. I'll probably have you on for one of those episodes as well each month.
Yeah. Well, if it got to be any position, make sure it's the receiver, my brother, for sure. Oh, each month is cool too, but definitely that receiver month though.
All right, we will definitely have you on, man. So appreciate you jumping on here. At Eric Vanek NFL, at America's Game Pod, at Fizzle Dollas DOLLAS on Twitter. Follow him there. At South Harmon FF. Website, Twitter, all that good stuff. Make sure you guys follow us there. So appreciate it. Until next week for episode number 80. We'll see you.